Amen. In John chapter 7 this morning. John chapter 7. Beginning in verse 25, and if you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand. Now the honor of the reading of God's Word. John 7, beginning in verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man, whence he is. But when Christ comes, no man knows whence he is." Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "You both know me, and you know whence I am. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, it is my prayer, Lord, that your Spirit would move in a mighty way. Father, that those who know you would know more of you this morning. That those who do not know you, that it would become evident and plain. That they would seek you in the person of Jesus Christ and find you. Father, teach us, Lord, what these things mean for our lives. And Father, just speak by your Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is continuing here his discussion with the Jews there in Jerusalem. You remember, they are so floored, they don't understand where his teaching comes from, because Jesus teaches differently than anyone they've ever heard teach. And Jesus has been showing them that his teaching is different because he's not seeking his own glory, he's not preaching for himself. His teaching is different because he's seeking God's glory, and he's pointing people away from themselves and pointing to him. And also how he is not teaching about the outward appearance, but is talking about the heart. The Jews here, after Jesus talked about his healing on the Sabbath, say, "Oh, yeah, this is the guy that everybody wants to kill." But they are completely and totally perplexed by Jesus yet again. Because in verse 26 it says, "But he speaks boldly." You know, it is kind of common sense that when people hate you and want to kill you, you normally don't hang around them. That's just normal the way it is. When somebody's mad at you and wants to kill you, it's normally a good idea to leave. That's the way most people do things. And when people hate you and want to kill you because of what comes out of your mouth, that's normally a good signal to close your mouth and not say anymore. Yet Jesus, knowing they want to kill him, talks more and is more bold. He is not timid. He is not scared. He is not shy. And they are amazed at this, and they don't understand this. But to add to this perplexity, they're amazed in verse 26 that the rulers don't say anything to him. And they wonder, well, maybe the rulers know that he's the Messiah. Maybe they know something we don't know. They're absolutely amazed that the rulers and the Jews want to kill Jesus, yet they're the ones who won't say anything publicly. Yet Jesus, who they want to kill, is the one who speaks boldly in front of everyone, and they go, this doesn't make sense. And I want to explain what's going on here in the spiritual reality, because this has a huge, huge application to life in general, but specifically into a church. This helps you identify wolves versus sheep, and has a tremendous application even within your own home. You see, Jesus is walking in the light. Jesus has nothing to hide. Jesus is open and honest. Jesus has facts on his side. Jesus has God's word on his side. Jesus has God on his side. Jesus has the truth on his side. So why should he be scared if God is for him? Why should he be scared if he's saying the truth? Why should he be scared if he's right? The only people who do not want public disclosure are people who have something to hide. You ever thought about that? I'll give you one from politics. Just think this through for a minute. You know, there was some discussion several months ago, maybe over a year ago, on passing a law that lawmakers had to read laws before they voted and enacted those laws. Why would you not want a law to be read before you enacted it? Maybe because there's something in the law you're trying to hide. If you got nothing to hide, then you don't hide anything. Why do little children run and hide in their bedrooms when somebody calls their name? Because they were cleaning the bathroom like they were supposed to? No, because they have something to hide. Why do the Jews not want to get into a public debate with Jesus? They'll lose. They have no scripture. They have no facts. They have no truth. They do not have a leg to stand on. And so what they do is they slink in the dark. You know, Jesus was very, very wise. And when he described people, he described them as either sheep, goats, or wolves. Wolves hunt at night. Wolves also hunt in packs. And wolves, when they hunt, they never attack the strong. They always try to pull the weak away from the rest of the group. Then they surround it, and then they wait for one wolf to get enough courage to attack. And the rest of the wolves wait and see if that wolf is successful before they put their own neck on the line and attack as well. Describes a lot of people, doesn't it? What do? Oh, this is so wrong! We'll stand up and say something. No. I don't think I'll say anything publicly. Why don't you say something publicly? Have you ever seen that in a church? Have you ever seen the, we're just going to slink around in the dark, phone calls, secret meetings, and we're going to see how many people we can get on our side? We won't ever show our hand. We won't ever say anything publicly. We won't ever speak to anyone we have a problem with. We're just going to get everyone on our side. And maybe when we got enough people, then we can attack and they rule the day, you wolf! That's not Christianity. That's paganism. If the Word of God is on your side and Jesus Christ is on your side, what do you have to fear by speaking the truth? Listen, if God is for you, who cares who's against you? Didn't Jesus say, don't fear the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who can cast body and soul into hell? How many of y'all have ever seen this take place in churches? Where you got the little group, and then they go and whisper until they add to their group, and then they add to their group. You say, well, what are you upset? Oh, nothing. Oh, nothing. Well, why don't you go talk to somebody about it who can do something about what you're upset with? Oh, no. Well, do you have a real basis? Oh, yes, we have a basis of being mad. How many of y'all ever seen that in a church? And then all of a sudden, everything's peaceful and calm, and then it just explodes in a fight, and people go, where'd that come from? Well, it came because once one wolf jumps out of the woods, then all the rest of the wolves feel it's okay to come out of the darkness as well. But not so with Christians. Wolves aren't Christians, by the way. Christians stand with Jesus Christ. And if God is for me, then who cares if everyone wants to kill me? If I am on the side of truth, why would I fear a public discourse? You know who people want to end debate? People that can't win the debate. Have you ever noticed this in our society? That abortion has pretty much become acceptable within our nation without ever having a public debate. Name the public debate that discussed when life began between someone who is pro-life and someone who is pro-abortion. It's not there. You know, I've actually read articles of people who were in favor of abortion that became pro-life. And you know why they became pro-life? Because their friend got pregnant and they wanted to get information about abortions for their friends so their friend could have an abortion and murder their baby. And you know the only people that gave out information? Pro-life people. And she asked, why do all these pro-abortion people not want public disclosure of what they do? Why is Planned Parenthood trying to stop an investigation into their practices? Because they have something to hide. Why would you not want someone to look in your closet? Oh, that's because you hide all your dirty your skeletons. And that's where all your dirty secrets are. So you see, Jesus is bold. You know why? Because he doesn't have any skeletons in his closet. He's on the side of truth. What is there to fear? Have you ever noticed that homosexuality has become accepted in our society without a public debate? Why haven't we discussed this? Why haven't we had this is a huge matter in our nation. Why don't we just have a public debate? Get all the religious crazies on one side and all the secularist crazies on one side. Send your best man forward and have a debate. Why? Because we don't want facts to be out there. Little pesky things called the truth. Is that not so? And haven't you seen it in marriages? Why would someone hide something from their spouse? Because they're wrong. Okay, why would you want to hide a purchase from your spouse? If it was a correct purchase, and if it was good, why are you hiding it from them? Why would you want to hide text messages, emails? The only reason you want to hide things is because you have something you need to hide. You see, Jesus is bold because he has nothing to hide, and he's true. Debate him. Debate what Jesus just said. They can't. So you know what they do? They sneak around in darkness. They arrest him in darkness. They have a trial during darkness. And when they deliver him to Pilate, he says, what'd he do wrong? They said, if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have given him to you. Now that's facts right there. And then when they present him, do you want Jesus or do you want Barabbas? Barabbas! What do you want me to do with Jesus? Kill him! Why? What'd he do wrong? Kill him! What did he do wrong? Kill him! Why? Because they have no facts. They have no truth. If you're on the side of truth, there's nothing to hide. If you're on the side of truth, you can be bold. You see, Jesus is bold because he's on the side of truth. Notice what it says next. Howbeit, we know this man, whence he is. They say, oh, we know Jesus. We know all about Jesus. We know that Joseph is his dad. We know that he was born and raised in Nazareth. We know about Jesus. We know where he comes from. And we know the Bible. We know the Bible really good. And you know what we know? We know when Christ comes, nobody knows where he came from. That's what it says in the Bible. The Bible says nobody knows where the Christ is going to come from. And we know that he's from Nazareth. So we know Jesus isn't the Messiah because we know Jesus so well and we know the Bible so well. How many of you all have ever met people who, well, we can't do that because that's against the Bible? And then you ask them, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, everybody knows. Okay, well, I don't. Please show me. Glenn and I went to visit somebody several years ago and we were visiting with him. And I don't know if Glenn probably remembers this better than I do. But he was there, and we started talking about the gospel with him. He said, well, I don't believe the Bible. And I said, why not? He said, well, because there's all a whole bunch of mistakes and contradictions in it. And I was dead serious as a heart attack. And this is the truth. I'm being serious here. I have based my whole life on the Bible. I don't care about anything else but the Bible. And I told him, if you can show me that the Bible is wrong, I have to change my entire life. I really do. This is a big deal to me. Would you please show me in the Bible those contradictions? Because I'm going to have to do a lot of changing in my life. He said, well, it's all over the place. Okay. Well, can you show me just one? Well, it's there. Here is my Bible. Show me one. Well, in the book of Psalms, okay? Book of Psalms. Which Psalm? Well, look at the weather. You know, to change the subject. Why? Why would you not want to talk about it? Because you don't have a leg to stand on. You do not have a leg to stand on. Have you ever talked with somebody who's upset about something and you begin to push them for why they're upset? And they say, well, it's just because God would hate it. Well, how do you know God would hate it? Well, it's the Bible. Okay. Well, where's it in the Bible? Well, it's just in there. And then you keep pushing, where is it in the Bible? And they change subjects. Well, all the other churches do that. Well, let's see. That sounds really familiar. Oh, I remember where that is. That's in the Bible in Samuel, where they say, Samuel, all the other nations have a king. We want one too. You know, I have had discussions with people. I've had at least three I can think of where they disagreed with something, and that's fine. And I'd say, okay, well, what about this verse of Scripture? And they refused to even look at the Bible. It was almost like it was a cat getting ready to bite them. Because I've done this several times. I remember going to lunch with a guy, and I said, okay, what does Jesus mean right here? And he was just kind of like, well, you know, Jesus would never say, well, no, he said it right there. Yeah, but, you know, that, you know, I've had somebody, well, you know, I can't believe you said that. Okay, well, tell me what this verse of Scripture means. We shouldn't do this in the church. Okay, well, there they did in their church, in Scripture. Well, how many of you have ever met people that know the Bible so well that they don't know anything in the Bible? And they know Jesus so well. This is what's so dangerous about the what would Jesus do. I do like the book by Shelton. I thought it was a good book. But one of the big dangers about what would Jesus do is most people decide what Jesus would do without ever actually knowing what Jesus actually taught or what Jesus actually did. Because Jesus would always do what I want him to do. That's right. Jesus would always do what makes me happy. Jesus would always do what I want. Jesus would never, ever ask me to do something that I've never heard of before or never thought of before. You see, many people think they know Jesus and they don't know Jesus. And many people think they know the Bible, but they don't know the Bible. Because you can ask them, okay, show me in the Bible. They say, well, it's in there. Where? Well, but it just is. I know it is. Okay, where? You see, I loved what Wayne said this morning, how he shared it this morning. These people don't know Jesus. They don't know where he came from. They don't know that he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. They don't know that Joseph isn't his dad. They don't know that he went to Egypt and came out of Egypt. And they obviously don't know the Bible, because the Bible said he'd be born of a virgin. The Bible said he'd be born in Bethlehem. The Bible said he'd come from Egypt. And the Bible said he'd be called a Nazarene. And now they're looking at a man saying, no, you can't be the Messiah because you're from Nazareth. And we know the Bible says nobody good comes from Nazareth, but wait, it says that he's a Nazarene. You see, so many people read the Bible, but they've never studied it. Some people read the Bible as a ritual, and they've read through it dozens of times, but they have absolutely no idea what it actually says. Oh, but they do if you ask them. I've had friends, you know, confronting people in their churches and say, you know, the Bible, I know what the Bible says. Well, then you know I'm, no, you're wrong. Well, then, what about this verse? Well, I don't know about that verse. Well, it's in there. We should probably figure out what it means. No, we don't. We've never done it that way before. I know what the Bible says. Well, if you know what the Bible says, why don't you enlighten the rest of us? Okay? I've seen this. I've seen this in marriages. I've seen this with kids and parents. I've seen this in families. Well, the Bible says that wives are supposed to... Really? Would you open it and show it to me? Can you explain to me what that verse means? Well, the Bible says my husband's supposed to... You know, and this is just a key, this is a little side note. I have found that every woman in the world wants to submit to their husband the way they define submission, which is, as long as my husband does what I want him to do, I will gladly go along with it, as long as he bears all the responsibility for it. And so this way I have an excuse of being biblical and disobeying my husband, and biblical and not following him. And men do the same thing. They have a way of saying, well, the wife's supposed to submit to the man, and completely ignoring all the parts about loving your wife and giving yourself for your wife and dying to yourself and caring for her and caring for your family and all of those things. They completely ignore all those things. You see, we do this same thing. You know, I was reading an article this past week that just kind of, it made me laugh and almost made me cry. because it was an article on how churches need to be more biblical. And it began to name off a whole bunch of things. We need to be more biblical in our approach to senior pastors. We need to be more biblical in our approach to youth pastors. We need to be more biblical in our approach to Sunday school. We need to be more biblical. I'm going, senior pastors, oh, that's not in the Bible. Youth pastors, nope, that's not in the Bible. Sunday school, nope, that's not in the Bible. And everything that he named off that we need to be more biblical on was not even anywhere mentioned in the Bible. And I'm going, this is sad. How many of y'all have attended Bible-believing churches that have no idea what's in the Bible they believe? They don't. Yeah, I've had people upset with things I've preached on before, and I've opened up our doctrinal statement and said, here. Okay, when I came here, the pulpit committee asked me, do you believe this? And I said, yeah, I believe that. This is the doctrinal statement of our church. I'm teaching in 100% accordance with what Antioch Baptist Church believes, with what it was founded as. I can show you in the minutes. Okay, the way this church was founded and the way we're going is 100% in accordance with the way it's founded. People go, ooh. It's there. It's in the Bible. But this happens in marriages, this happens in churches, happens in denominations. Well, Jesus would not be okay with that. Well, one problem with that, and that's Jesus said the exact opposite. But in our arrogance, we think we actually know Jesus and we actually know the Bible and we never study the issues. If you could only speak the things that you had actually studied in the Bible for 2 hours, how much about the church could you actually talk about? How much about the family, government, children, money? If you could only speak to that which you have studied for more than 2 hours, which is not very much time, by the way, what issues could you actually speak to from the Bible? The answer is, for most people, very, very few. People, I've had people, I don't like the way you preach the gospel, okay? Well, show me in the Bible where it's preached your way. Well, I know it's not in there, but okay then. How much have you studied what's in the Bible? Well, I know what you're saying is not in there, okay? Then show me what you're saying where it is. You see, this is where denominations have split. Conventions have split. Associations have split. Because I know this happened in the local association. A group came forward and said, this is what the Bible says, we're not doing it. Many years ago. And they voted it down, even though the Bible said it, without debate. I mean, you've ever seen that in a church. Families, marriages. I know the Bible says that, but we're not going to do it. Because we know the Bible so well. And we know Jesus so well. Notice what happens next. Verse 28, then cries Jesus in the temple, as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. Now, this is interesting that Jesus says, you know me, because do they really know him? In some respects, they don't have a clue. But in other respects, the verse that Wayne read this morning is so true. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They knew who Jesus was. But you see, therein is the issue. Everyone knows abortion's murder. Everyone knows it's a baby. But to actually say that is to incriminate yourself. Everyone knows what the Bible says on certain issues. Even if we've never really read it, you know what we know within our conscience, the law of God written on our hearts. But here's the reality. We deny it because to admit it means that we have to repent. What happened when Jesus asked them about John the Baptist? He said, John the Baptist, was he from man or was he from God? What happened? What was the conversation they had? Well, if we say he's from man, the people will get mad because they thought he was from God. If we say he's from God, he's going to ask us, then why didn't you believe him? You see, people know. But you know what they do? The scripture says they suppress the knowledge of God. They suppress it. Okay? We know. Children know that it's wrong to hit people. That's why when you see them hit them and you call out their name, They kind of duck, they hide their hand. They know it's wrong to steal, but you know what? They do it anyway. You know why? Because they want to. What has been the whole purpose of Jesus' teaching here? Are you God or is God God? That's the reality. They do what they want to, and there's just this minor inconvenience called the truth. And Jesus says, you know me. Okay? And he says this, but I didn't come of myself. He that sent me is true. Notice the problem. Whom you know not. How many of y'all have ever encountered, I'm going to use the term very loosely, Christian people, church people? You've encountered them, and they know Jesus, and they know the Bible, and they know they're right, yet they slink around in the dark, and they can't say a single verse of Scripture or tell you anything Jesus said. How many of y'all have ever met people like that? And you try to talk with them and reason with them from the Scriptures, and it's like talking to a brick wall. How many of y'all have ever encountered that? It's like talking to a brick wall. You know what their problem is? According to Jesus, they don't know God. The word there for know is an experiential knowledge. They do not know God. Now, pop quiz for you, and this again will show us how much we know about the Bible. When we speak of, for whosoever, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does Jesus mean when he says everlasting life? What does it mean to have everlasting life? It means you're going to heaven when you die, right? Not according to Jesus. What is everlasting life? Turn to John chapter 17. I want you to see this. I want you to see this because this is so important. Because this is where what Jesus is saying is, again, goes down to the state of our soul. John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal. Do you want to know what eternal life is? Do you want to know what everlasting life is? Do you know what life is? And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. What is shall not perish, but have everlasting life? What does that mean? They know God. What does it mean to have eternal life? It means you know God. Notice that knowing there is not future tense. It is present tense. To have eternal life is to know God. And let me explain the whole thing for you here. Adam and Eve were created. They were placed in the Garden of Eden. It was a utopia. There was no pain. There was no sickness. There was no death. There was no suffering. All there was pleasure and joy and unbridled fellowship and union with God. Now, if the idea of know is experiential knowledge, did Adam and Eve know God? Yes. They walked with him in the cool of the day. Jesus, or God told them, in the day you eat, you will die. Now let me ask you this. Did Adam and Eve die the day they ate of the fruit? Yes. Did Adam live another 900 and some years after that? Physically, yes. Eve lived for several hundred years after that, from all we can tell. But the day they ate, they physically died. They spiritually died. Why? Because God removed them from his presence. Follow this all the way through. They were removed from his presence, and an angel was placed with a flaming sword to keep them from ever knowing God again. You see, death is not knowing God. And what was the result of that severed relationship with God? Sickness, pain, suffering, death, hell. So if that flaming sword can be absorbed through the death of Jesus Christ, if he will take the wrath that we deserve to appease the wrath of God on our behalf, what is going to be the immediate result? We will go back to fellowship with God. And what will be the long-term effect of knowing God? There will come a rolling back of all pain, sickness, death, hell. And what will be ushered in from knowing God? Be ushered in a place of no pain, no sickness, no death, where we will be with Him forever. But where is the crux of the matter? Knowing God. If you know God, why would you fear man killing you? If you know God, why would you fear public opinion? If God says, well done, good and faithful servant, why do you care what other people think? If to die and be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, why would you fear death? You see, if you know God, you can speak boldly. If you know God, okay, then you will recognize His voice in His Word. If you know God, then what will happen when you see Jesus? You will recognize that He is God. However, if you do not know God, will you understand His Word? No. Will you recognize Him? Okay. How many of you all know Lorraine Hackler Kendall? That's my grandma. Some of y'all have actually met her. Okay? That is my grandma. How many of y'all would know her, though, if she walked in this morning? Most of you wouldn't, because you've never met her. Why do they not recognize God walking with them? Because they don't know Him. You see, there is the bottom line. They don't know God. You see, the difference in the Bible, everything, there's two sides, and everything falls on one of two sides. You got darkness, you got not knowing God, you got lost, you got under Adam, you got in the flesh, you got all of those things. On the other side, you got light, you got knowing God, you got born again, you got saved, and on one side, you got hell, on the other side, you got heaven. And it's impossible to weave back and forth from side to side to side. I know God and walk in darkness. I walk in darkness, but I don't sin. I don't sin, but I tell lies. You can't go back and forth. Yet we live in a day where people live in darkness, don't know God, but don't worry, they're going to heaven when they die. Explain that to me. It's impossible. The only way that you can arrive at heaven when you die is if you know God in the here and now. If you are walking in the light as He is in the light. Hey, that's the only way. And so the question for us then is this. Do you know God? Not the question's not, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? The question is, do you know God? Do you know His voice? Do you know His conviction? Do you know the hand that has broken you? And do you know the hand that is remaking you a vessel of glory? Do you know the joy of sins forgiven? Do you know the peace that is not a peace that this world gives, but a peace that passes all understanding? Do you know God? I remember watching a very famous pastor, and I like him, but I kind of was disappointed with the answer. He was having a discussion. It wasn't a debate or anything. He was having a discussion with an atheist, and the atheist said, how can you be so certain that there's a God? And he went off in some answer somewhere, and I just want to be like, it's real easy, because I've met Him. If somebody asks you, how do you know that you have a mother? Because you've met her. Hello? We don't question the existence of our family members. We don't question the existence of each other. You know why we question the existence of God? Because we don't know Him. Okay, I have not seen my grandma since August. But she's still there. You know why? Because I know her. Talked to her on the phone. I've heard her voice. Okay? I play words with friends with her, okay? I mean, I know her. I know her. How do I know there's a God? Because I know Him. He has spoken to me. He has broken me. And He has remade me. He disciplines me. He corrects me. He convicts me. He forgives me. Do you know God? I'm not here to talk about religion. I'm not here to talk about Sunday school and church attendance and all the other stuff. I'm here to ask you, do you know God? That is the question. Why did Jesus Christ come? So that you might know God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to heaven but by me. No, He doesn't say that. No one comes to the Father. Why? Jesus is the only way to God the Father. Why? Because ever since Adam sinned, there has been a flaming sword between us and God. God's wrath towards sin has always stood between man and God. And the only way back into Eden, the only way back into fellowship with God is if Jesus Christ dies on the cross and absorbs the flaming sword of God's wrath on our behalf and rises again from the dead to give us a new life, a life of harmony and fellowship with God. And those who know God, what do? Well, we seek to know more of Him and His Word. You know why Christians, truly born-again people, know so much of the Bible and love the Bible so much and only care what the Bible says? Because in the Bible, they hear the voice of their God. You know why we read and care so much about what Jesus said? Because in Jesus, we see the person of God. And if you don't care how Jesus lived and you don't care what God had to say in the Bible, how can you really know God? How can you really love Him? You see, it's amazing to me if you look and you got two groups of people. Okay, you got the sheep and you got the goats. And you look, and it's amazing to me because you can look everywhere in this area. You can look everywhere in our nation and you will see the religious Christian people. And you'll see one group that all they care about is what Jesus actually said and did and what the Word of God says. And another group who says they care about it but could care less. And you know what you have? You have saved people and you have lost people. You have many who will say in that day, Lord, Lord, and they'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because eternal life is knowing God. Do you know Him? If you know Him, would you not seek to know more of Him by studying the person of Jesus Christ, by studying His words? You know, we sing a song, more of Jesus would I know. Is that really your desire? I mean, do you really open your Bible in the morning to check off a box, or do you really open it just saying, Lord, I am hungry, fill me with Jesus. Show me my Savior. Show me your will. Let me hear your voice. And do you hear His voice? Do you know Him? If you know Him, seek to know Him more. If you do not know Him, would you repent of your sin, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved? Amen.